Good morning, and welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton with you. We come every Sunday morning about this time to try to bring you some thoughts that we hope will be helpful to you. 3 weeks ago, we started a sermon entitled Some Great Bible Truths, and we will continue that today for the third part and last part, which we hope, along with the others, will be a blessing to you. You learn something about the Bible, about Bible truths. We hope that that'll be the case. 9:45 is Sunday school time. 10 o'clock for Sunday school. 9:45 for Sunday school, I should say, actually. We have a 15-minute opening there. And then 11 o'clock for the morning service. 6 o'clock for the evening service. And we have youth time at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and for the teens. And then for our younger 5 to 12, we have a program Thursday night during our midweek service. We just want you to know they're there, available to you if you would like to participate or come or take part. It would be a blessing to you, I hope. All right. We told you, well, we didn't tell you this. If you come into Lupton, we're on the east side of the street. That way, north or south, you'll find us. Big white building in the middle of town, parking lot across the street, big white sign in it. And we hope that that'll be a blessing to you to maybe come by and just visit. You don't have to, you know, make any decisions. We've always been open to that. And we don't really push our church on you by any means in this program, but we do want you to know you're welcome. I know people have asked me about that, and so I will say that, you know, you're welcome to come, but we're not trying to steal anybody's sheep. If there's one thing that goes on nowadays in the modern church thing is sheep stealing. It's one thing when somebody leaves a church and goes, that's their business. But when somebody convinces somebody to come to their church and they've already got a church and already in it, that's called stealing sheep. And we don't believe in that. We're not trying to be your pastor. We're not trying to be your local church. You have a pastor, support him. And we can surely be helpful in that matter. If you don't have a church, you don't have a place, we can try to help you with that. But we believe in the local church, and we've always fought for that and stood for that. And we believe that you ought to have one. I know people that are saved, been saved for years, and don't have a local church. I don't understand that. I mean, Jesus Christ founded the church. And most of the New Testament's about the churches of Galatia, the churches of wherever. And it's about the church. You say, well, Pastor, all churches can't be right. We didn't say that. We said it's about the church. You have to judge the church against the Word of God, not against what I say or against what somebody else says, but against the book. As I've told you, when it comes to issues in our country, issues in our world, judge them by the book. Some of you say, well, they're talking about global warming. Did you ever check by the book? Did you ever check about weather in the book? You have to do that sometime. Check about weather in the book. Clouds and rain and snow and sleet and hail. Look it up. It's in the book. And that's what you're going to judge all this hoorah about. And it's going to be global warming, all right, but not in the way they think. Oh, it's going to get hot. Well, listen, I got to draw a close to my talk here. I'll be talking about something that has nothing to do with our message. Some great Bible truths. Before that, back to the Bible choir, quartet. I can't remember which one it is. And wonderful words of life. I hope it'll be a blessing to you and help to you. And don't forget, at the end of our program, our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. Thank you.
Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
Hebrews 6, and I'm going to move on. Bible truths, Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine for Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal... Think on that. Here's what I want you to think. Right now, you know the best place to preach a sermon like this is right down there in Standish. I'll tell you what, I find a lot of the Bible, them boys understand what it means. Some of them boys is in there forever. I said to them the other day, I said, some of y'all think you're in here forever, don't you? And they went, I said, no, you're not. They looked at me. I said, there's an escape coming for you saints one of these days. Amen. I said, the rapture, you're going to get out of here, leave your clothes and duds and everything, and they're not going to come after you. Bull smiles come across their faces. I said, hope, hope, brethren. Amen. But here's what I want you to think. He calls it eternal judgment. Do you realize that whatever God finds in your life and judges you for it will be something that you'll have to live with and stick with forever? Think about that. Can that? It's almost incomprehensible. I understand that we don't understand eternal and ever, but think about a minute. When God brings down the gavel of judgment on you at the judgment seat of Christ, whatever's been judged in your life is final, fixed forever. It can't be changed.
Right.
The choir sang that song. Man, oh man, I hate that song. I'm not kidding you. I don't mean hate in the sense of, yeah, but I just hate to hear that song. Must I go and empty? You know, there are people maybe sitting in this room here, you've been saved for 15, 20, 30 years, and you've never personally led a soul to Christ. Can you imagine going to heaven and not having anybody that you ever personally witnessed to? Maybe you've just never personally witnessed to anybody and never handed a tract to anybody, never done anything like that, and yet you're going to go to heaven and have to stand before God and give an account of yourself? Imagine that judgment if you can. Hey, let's move on. Romans 5. That's too much for me. I can't handle that. Bothers me. Maybe it don't bother you, but it bothers me.
Romans 5:12, wherefore is but one man sent into the world, and sin death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. I want you to tell you that here's the truth, that sin brings death. The result of Adam's sin is death, and everyone will meet the same fate. There's a spiritual death, I know, just like there's a physical death. Adam didn't die at the moment he sinned, and yet he did. He didn't drop over dead the moment he took, but he did. He began to die. And you know what? A lot of people in this world, you might live another 20 years. You're not dying, but yet you are. Because you keep feeding sin into your life and just keeps killing you and killing you and killing you. Amen. Till you lose your desire to pray and read your Bible and Amen. Be a soul winner and even attend church regular. And it affects you.
That's right.
See? And the problem of it is we know that's the truth, but we ignore it thinking I'm the exception. You're not an exception to anything. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? How many times have you heard that verse quoted? How many times have you quoted that verse? It's the truth. It is the truth that the wages, the payment for sin is death. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting in this world and I'm looking out the doors of it. I'm talking to preachers. I talked to one the other day who said he had to dismiss a family in his church because of some sin going on in that family. And when he dismissed that family, two other families sided with him and left the church. They sided with the sin of that family. Come on! Where are we at in America? In our churches, we don't even recognize sin as sin. Sin's a killer. It'll kill you. It'll kill your children. It'll kill your husband. And it'll kill your wife. It'll kill your home. Silent, isn't it? Listen. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Bible truth. I have not told you what Paul Heaton believes. I've just read you what the Bible said. And yet we continue to sport and court sin.
That's right.
Thinking that because we're Baptist and baptized, we're exempt. No, you're not. It's going to kill you just like it kill anybody else. It doesn't care whether you're 6 or 60. Proverbs 28. I almost hate to talk to a preacher anymore. I said, how's it going, brother? He says, oh, man, I'll tell you. Guy says to me, so how's it going? I said, well, if it wasn't for the devil, it'd be going great. If it wasn't for the devil and the flesh and the world, it'd be a great thing. Pastoring would be a great thing. Them three things keep me busy 24 hours a day. Well, did you hear about? No, I don't even want to hear. Don't
Amen.
Tell me. I don't even want to hear.
That's right.
I don't even want to hear. Just give me a name and I'll pray.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Listen, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the harder it's going to get for you to live. So just buckle in your seatbelt and hang in for the ride.
Right.
It's not going to get easier. I wish I could say somebody, hey, folks, in 2 weeks it's all going to be over and it'll be easy. In 2 weeks it's probably going to be 10 times worse than it is now. All right? But I'm not discouraged. I'm just telling you this morning, these are truths we keep ignoring, and look what they're doing to us. We ignore them, and they just keep crushing in on us. Proverbs 22:8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. I'm sorry, did I not tell you? Okay. Nobody in here has ESP? You couldn't read my mind this morning? Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. I start there, but I'm going to end somewhere else. But I start there by saying this. Here's the truth, that sowing results in reaping. Okay? Now, why should the preacher have to stand in the pulpit and explain that very natural principle? How many of you planted a garden this year? How many of you got up the other morning and went, "Oh, no, I didn't get my tomatoes." And you looked up, because why? There was no warning about a frost. We didn't think about that. But you know, when it does get below 30, there is such a thing as called freeze. And the tomatoes just sit there and kind of freeze on the vine. And when the sun comes up, they just get this different color. You know what I'm saying? So they're done. I mean, everything else is done. Nothing's there. Amen. Now, why is it you planted this garden, you went out there and you put them seeds in the ground, and you know what you expected? You expected something to grow from it. And you were disappointed if it didn't. Now, let me. That's a natural law that God designed. What makes you think that you can sow immorality and reap spirituality?
Amen.
What makes you think you can sow lying and reap the truth?
Amen.
What makes you think you can sow deceit and reap honesty?
Amen.
Come on! You know that law better, as good as I do. It's a law that God placed in this universe. He said, you sow it, and the results is the reaping. Now, I'm a believer in making every effort you can, okay? And I pray for a crop failure most of the time. Smile, come on, it'll help you a little bit. Haven't you ever said, "Lord, I know I deserve, but if you could just knock a few of those corn stalks down, I'd kind of appreciate it a little bit." You know, the Lord's good once in a while. He just doesn't pour back to me like I got. I should have it. You don't you sit there and say, "Well, I'm so..." If you... You know what the Galatians 6, 7, and 8, come on. "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man who sows to the flesh reaps. He that soweth to the Spirit reaps life everlasting." You sow bitterness, what do you reap? Bitterness. You sow hate, what do you reap? You slap your sister, what do you get back? You slap your brother, what do you get? Punch in the nose. And a mother who's, "All right, you to your room, you to the pump house." In other words, you go around hitting, what do you get back? Hit. Amen? Wow, I didn't think that was difficult. Oh, quickly, and I got to go here, but Psalm 126, I got to get this one in here because this is a, you know, Psalm 126. You know this, but I'll just give it here to you and we'll move right on. Verse 6, "He that goeth forth a weeping, bearing precious seeds, so doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him." You sow the seed, you get a harvest.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
I don't even want to turn to it. Matthew 13 is all about the sower, isn't it? And the sower went out and sowed, and it said there some came up 30. Listen to me. Listen. Some came up 30, some 60, some 100. Listen, everybody in here who's ever planted knows you don't get 100% of the seeds to come up.
That's right.
Okay, if I plant seeds, usually I plant two bean seeds in together. Why? I want at least one of them to come up. If both of them come up, hallelujah. But at least they get one. If none comes up, I'm mad. But the Lord said, "Listen, sow it. You never know what ground you're putting it on. You just sow it. Some's going to get 30. Some's going to get 60. Some's going to 100. At least you're going to get something. But you get nothing if you sow nothing." John 3, let me read you just three verses and then actually four verses, I'm sorry. Verse 15. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him. Here's the truth, that believing in Christ brings salvation. Doesn't have anything to do with your church. Doesn't have anything to do with your goodness. Doesn't have anything to do with your honesty, as though you were. It has to do with believing. You can't believe the emails and letters I get. Well, you didn't say anything on your side about baptism. Read a little further. Well, you didn't say anything on your side about... Read the Bible. My sight is not the inerrant Word of God. Read the Bible. And I read through the Bible. Believe, 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 believe. Well, I'll give you the rest of them if you want them. There's about two more hours here. No, you don't want that. Believe, believe, believe. Probably, it's a good chance that sitting in this auditorium this morning, there's somebody who's not saved because you never believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You've gone to church. You come up in a Christian home. Maybe you've even been baptized. But you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the truth is this, that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. I didn't make it up. It's right there in your book. You can read it. You can find it in Romans. You can find it in there. You just go. It's right there in the Bible. Now, what is it about truth that we always want to hear, but when we hear it, we begin to judge of how much of it we want? See, either you take all the truth or you take none of it. Because if you begin to slice it up like you want it, pretty soon you're going to have your own little religion. That's exactly what religion is and what cults are. They take a certain amount of truth and slice it up.
Amen.
Now, a Bible believer says, well, that's what God said. So that's what I guess I got to do. Bottom line is, I don't make up what's right. God's already said what's right. I just got to do what he says. If you don't sow the seed, you get nothing. Folks, the results of the ministry of a church are nothing more than the actions of the people of that ministry. That's it. Me included. That's all it is. It doesn't anything to do with, you know, you can pave the parking lot, you can put shingles on the roof, you can put nice things on the church. That don't mean anything. The church isn't the building, it's the people. Father, we need you today more than we've ever needed you before.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.